If you like what you're hearing on the Security Ledger podcast, consider subscribing to one of our newsletters like the Daily Ledger or the Weekly Ledger. You can learn more and sign up at securityledger.com/subscribe. This is the Security Ledger Podcast, and I'm Paul Roberts, Editor-in-Chief at the Security Ledger. In this week's episode number 151, it's happened again. A little more than a week after Riviera Beach, Florida agreed to pay a whopping $600,000 ransom to get their data back from ransomware criminals, another Sunshine State's city administration has been forced to do the same. On Monday, the City Council of Lake City, Florida, population 65,000, voted to pay a ransom demand of 42 bitcoins worth nearly $500,000. This follows incidents in bigger cities, including Baltimore, which notoriously turned down a $75,000 ransom demand and ended up paying upwards of $18 million to contractors and technology companies to help the city recover data and restore thousands of city systems. Why are cyber criminals going after the computers and networks of cash-strapped municipalities? To better understand what's going on, we invited Cesar Cerruto, the Chief Technology Officer in charge of research at the firm IOActive. Cesar is the founder of Securing Smart Cities, a nonprofit that provides guidance and advice to city governments on how to secure their networks from hackers. To start off, I asked Cesar to explain the trend of municipal governments being attacked by cyber criminal gangs.
I'm Cesar Cerruto, CTO for IOActive Labs.
Cesar, welcome back to the Security Ledger podcast.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
So the news that brings you in today, Cesar, is that in recent weeks, we've seen a spate of cities who have paid some pretty large ransoms. Riviera Beach that paid a $600,000 ransom, and then just recently, Lake City, Florida, with around a $500,000 ransom. So what gives? What's going on? Why are all these cities getting hacked and infected with ransomware?
Yeah, I think this is happening, of course, because there is not very good security defenses on the government side, specifically on city systems. But for cyber criminals, this is a very good business opportunity because it's an easy way for them to profit. When we look at the private sector, it's getting more mature. Most companies have been investing for a long time on cybersecurity and have suffered the consequences in the past. So now they have better defenses, they do pen testing, they do audit, they use security products. So they put some money to defend their systems. And it's harder for cyber criminals to compromise private companies. On the other side, when you look at the public sector, they are lagging behind the private sector because they have fewer resources, skills, so they are a better target for cyber criminals. And they always try to look for the easy and low-hanging fruit. So they always do the least effort for the maximum profit. So targeting city systems is a good business for them, as it's not very difficult to compromise them and then get some money asking for a ransom.
Cesar, when we're talking about compromising city systems, are we talking about Windows systems here that are being hacked into and compromised, or other municipal systems like SCADA or industrial control systems and that kind of thing?
Yeah, there are a lot of ongoing attacks related with regular systems, desktop computers, and also related with critical infrastructure. But I think when we talk about critical infrastructure, then those are mostly not regular cyber criminals. Usually they are more skilled attackers behind that. If there are possibility for easy hacking some critical infrastructure system, then cyber criminals could be the ones to blame. And this is happening all the time. Sometimes we don't see it on the news, but that doesn't mean that it is not happening. When you get your system compromised, in this case by ransomware, you have two options. Or you have a good backup that you can recover your data from, or you have to pay if you want your data back. As we have seen with many attacks, most of these systems that are being compromised, they don't have a good backup because they end up paying or they end up losing all the information.
So I think we saw that with Baltimore, they refused to pay the ransom, and the cleanup there has been very long and painful and expensive too. I saw the estimate that put the price tag in Baltimore, I think, at $18 million to restore their municipal network, even though I think the initial ransom that the city was asked to pay was only about $75,000. So I guess potentially for cities, it can be very costly to take the high road and just refuse to pay these cyber criminals.
Yes, it's a similar case like Atlanta City last year. They were compromised by ransomware. They choose not to pay, and then they had to spend a lot of money, you know, trying to get the system back to work again. And so we are seeing the same story repeating at different places. And I think it will just continue happening until, you know, governments start to take security seriously. Because I think they still, after getting attacked, they don't take security very seriously. In the case of Atlanta, at least based on public information, after the attack they had last year, they increased the cybersecurity budget in $1 or $2 million, which, if you think about that, and with all the system they have, they probably, you know, they renew the antivirus licenses, or they bought more antivirus, and that's it. Because if you have thousands of systems and computers and devices, with $1 or $2 million, it's not much you could do, right? So the way I see is that they have being hit last year by this attack, but then it doesn't seem they really understood the how serious could be these problems. Because usually, you know, these end up related with financial issues, like the government will lose money recovering from the incident, and also won't be able to provide good services, causing problems with the population. But sometimes this attack could end up with people putting people's lives at risk. There was some cases where 911 service was compromised too. So that's a good example. If 911 service is not working, then people could be in danger, because the government can provide a good solution in emergency cases.
So, Cesar, with these ransomware attacks, like, what are the flaws that are getting exploited, or the weaknesses in city government environments? Are these really all just phishing and social engineering attacks against government employees, or is there other bad practices or insecure practices at the local government level that makes these communities particularly susceptible to these types of attacks?
I think there have been both cases, like regular phishing campaigns where government employees, they just click in the wrong place. But there have been also remote compromise or some systems or servers where the attackers can't get in, you know, from any place, but exploiting a vulnerability in some, you know, web application or some server. Sometimes it could be weak password, etc. So I think there have been a different kind of attacks, but it all relates with bad security practices.
So you mentioned the budget issue. Does this all come down to how much, you know, these cities and towns are investing in people, processes, and technology, as they say, or are other things at play here, like, you know, technical debt, just a lot of older systems that they have to maintain and haven't been able to get rid of?
I think there are many things going on. The public sector is different from the private sector, where in the private sector, you know, you have to invest on cybersecurity because you have to protect your assets. But in the public sector, it's difficult to justify sometimes a budget, because in the case of cybersecurity, it is invisible. So it's very difficult for politicians to sell cybersecurity to the citizen. cybersecurity won't get much traction for them, won't get much votes. An example I always mention is that if you are a politician and you say, I'm going to invest $5 million and we are going to build a new bridge where you can go from one side of the city to the other side faster, so you will return faster from work to home and etc., then people will see the benefit once the bridge is finished, or people will use the bridge and we see a clear benefit. But in terms of cybersecurity, if you say we are going to spend $5 million to improve the security of our systems, then people won't perceive the benefit. You know, you have a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of slow processes in place. You have lack of resources and knowledge too. At the government, you have lower salaries than in the private sector. So it's difficult for the government to attract good talent. Also, we are seeing a shortage of talent related with cybersecurity, of course, affecting to the government. And at the same time, technology is being used more and more every day. So instead of, you know, reducing the problem is getting bigger every day.
And Cesar, I mean, some of this speaks to the growth of smart city and smart town initiatives. Governments are obviously looking to the Internet of Things and technology to expand services to constituents and cut costs. But my guess is that there's a lot of cyber risk that goes along with some of these systems that maybe these communities aren't really taking into account when they're going to adopt them.
I think one big problem is that when governments acquire technology, they don't test the security of the technology. They just blindly trust the vendor. So if the vendor say, yes, we have encryption, we have authentication, authorization, then the government will just believe in them and acquire and use the technology. But nobody is really testing right if the vendor is telling the truth or not. Or maybe the vendor is telling the truth, but the security protection are really bad and are very easy to bypass. And no one knows that. And I think that's really, really common around the world. It's not specifically for US cities and government. It's something that is happening around the world. You know, the government blindly trusting the vendors. So I think there should be like a very strong regulation or something saying, okay, if you want to provide technology to the government, then you have to have these independent security reviews. And we are also going to review your products before using it. But that's not happening. So that's a really big problem, because every day you're using more technology and you don't know if the technology is secure or not.
So Cesar Cerruto of IOActive, one thing you've done is to create a nonprofit, Securing Smart Cities. Tell us a little bit about what that nonprofit does and what kind of work you're doing to help city governments secure their environments. 3, 2, 1. So Cesar, if folks are listening here and maybe they work in the public sector, work for a local town or city government, and they're freaked out about ransomware attacks, what is the low-hanging fruit that they can pick to make themselves less of a target?
Well, this started like 4 years ago. I started to see a lot of problems related with technology being used in smart cities. I didn't want to just pointing out the problems. I wanted to do something about it. So I thought it was a good idea to start this organization so we could work together with other, you know, professionals and other organizations to try to identify all these security problems affecting smart city technology and also propose some solutions and recommendations. So far, we have been focusing on creating useful guidelines, because like I said, one of the issues is the lack of knowledge. Because if you don't have good knowledge of cybersecurity, then you probably won't take good decisions. So we are producing this basic but very useful guidelines where someone working at the government can read them and take better decisions in order to improve the security of the technology.
So Cesar, if folks are listening here and maybe they work in the public sector, work for a local town or city government, and they're freaked out about ransomware attacks, what is the low-hanging fruit that they can pick to make themselves less of a target?
Yeah, first, they should understand that cybersecurity is important. So education is a must on all the levels, from decision makers to operators. Everyone should understand that cybersecurity is important and why it is important. Because if you don't know that, then you probably won't be doing the right thing. And like I said, there are a lot of non-technical issues related with the lack of investment because of your resources, because not understanding the problem. So that should be fixed first. And then you need to test the technology before deploying it. Because after you deploy the technology and start using it, when you have a security problem, then it becomes very difficult to fix it. Sometimes it could be, you know, impossible to fix it if it wasn't properly designed for updates. So test before use always. And that should address a lot of issues. And then another thing that I think it will become more and more important is to have specific CT certs, computer emergency response teams, where they can, you know, manage and also coordinate all related with cybersecurity. Because right now, if a city suffers a cyber attack, there is a lot of lack of coordination. No one knows what to do, who to talk to, and what is the best way to react. So they are losing a lot of time taking wrong decisions. But if you have a specific organization to deal with cybersecurity, to coordinate all the areas in a government and the right procedures in place, everything should be easier. In the same way, you know, some cities are prepared for earthquakes or other natural disasters, then cities, I think, should be prepared for cyber attacks, because the technology dependency is getting bigger every day. And if we are not prepared, then the consequences will be worse.
Cesar, these days we hear about ransomware attacks and about city employees, you know, who can't get paid and, you know, people who can't access critical services from the city. But my guess is, as this smart city revolution proceeds, these attacks might literally cripple cities, keep people from being able to move around on public transit or receive services like, you know, clean water and electricity. I'm guessing those types of attacks are feasible today. Do you think we're going to start seeing them in real life?
Yeah, I think that the consequences will be worse over time. We have seen attacks, for instance, the ransomware attack on San Francisco Municipal Railway. Yeah. They have to let the people ride for free because the system to process the tickets stopped working. But what about if some critical system stop working? Then you are putting people lives at risk. And that will be, you know, really sad to have people, you know, put in danger, you know, with the injuries or even death. But that could be a possibility because we are depending more and more on technology, and that's a possibility. I don't think, you know, cyber criminals are interested in doing that. But sometimes they just randomly target system. They don't know sometimes what system they are compromised. They just get a foot into a network and then they will try to compromise any system. And sometimes it could be a critical system with very serious consequences. That doesn't mean that it was the intention of the cyber criminal. It was something random. But that's clearly a problem. One important right. thing is, you know, is awareness. You know, for me, talking about this is very important because people need to understand the problems first in order to then do something about it. But I have been talking about this for at least for 4 years. And sometimes I think that, you know, I'm always saying like the sky is falling, the sky is falling and nobody pays attention. But, you know, I predicted this kind of attack 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And still I don't see much changes, and which is sad. But I will just, you know, keep talking and keep trying to raise awareness, because I think it's very important. We all, as citizens of cities around the world, we have a lot at play, and we need to do something to improve the cybersecurity of our system, because sooner or later we suffer the consequences of cyber attacks. I want people that understand this problem, do whatever they want, to talk to local government, to talk to policymakers, to talk to anyone, and make them understand that why cybersecurity is important and to do something about it.
Final question, Cesar Cerruto. Is there more that the federal government here in the United States could be doing to help guide local communities to address these risks?
So I think developing national policies, you know, and practical advice, that should be very helpful. Because like I said, sometimes, you know, some governments are very clueless about cybersecurity. They don't know what to do and how to do it. So sometimes a very standard or very basic guide is a huge change, because they have some way to know what to do at what least and what should be paying more attention. And I think sometimes you have some guidelines in place, but are 100-page guidelines that, you know, it's very difficult to understand. So they should focus more on practical things, something that is, you know, easy to understand, easy to apply, and that can make a huge difference.
Cesar Cerruto of IO Active Research, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us on the Security Ledger podcast.
No problem. Thank you for the opportunity.
Cesar Cerruto is the Chief Technology Officer at IO Active Research. He was here talking to us about the recent spate of ransomware attacks targeting city governments.